Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stokers and Bear Radio. So I am your host, Romero Fran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Bear Radio Show. Stokers and Bear is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. It is cloudy in San Diego today, and time on deck is 8:03 a.m. Stokers and Bear is the official radio show for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk about horse racing, dog racing, pie-eating contests, hot dog-eating contests, mud wrestling, boxing, UFC. But at the same time, this is a football talk show, so we talk a lot about the National Football League, NFL, NBA, National Hockey League. So with that being said, today's topic is Jags eats Ravens as Jacksonville defeats Baltimore in NFL action recap. The host will discuss action and results from this past weekend's NFL action. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love and discussion worthy topics that come across the host monitor. The show's number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, is scheduled to debate the host regarding the loss this weekend by the Baltimore Ravens to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So hopefully our number one sports contributor will be calling in today and do some war on air in front of a live global audience. But again, for those of you just tuning in, you are tuning in to the Stokers and Bear Radio Show, the professional platform for the professional armchair quarterback to talk about the sport they love. And today's topic again is Jags eat the Ravens as Jacksonville defeats Baltimore in NFL action recap. So everybody, you know, I'm just trying to figure out why Baltimore got beat this weekend. You know, they should have been already in basically playoff form, and they actually lost the game this weekend to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm waiting on my number one sports contributor to the show to call in and debate me on why Lamar Jackson couldn't pull this off. I didn't see the game myself. I got caught up watching Chargers wind up. They defeated I'm trying to remember who the Chargers played, but they was playing a pretty tough team. And they wind up beating them. I wind up watching Kansas City beat the Rams, you know, that type of thing. So I didn't get to see my Saints play. I didn't get to see them play this weekend either. So it wasn't a real good football weekend for me when I can't see the Saints, and the Saints should have been on TV on the West Coast playing the 49ers, but they didn't even show that game. And it seems to be a defensive battle. Saints lost 13-0 to the 49ers, but I mean, defense looked like it did its job, but the offense, they just couldn't, they just can't get in the red zone against some of these teams. It looked like it was like the same type of game they played against the Ravens some time back. Speaking of my New Orleans Saints, looked like it was the same type of game they played against the Baltimore Ravens some time back a few weeks ago, and they couldn't get into the red zone, even with Alvin Kamara on the field. So, not looking too good for us. I think that drops us down into the last place we came in the hunt. And now we're just like out. I think we're pretty much out of the NFC playoff picture. Plus Carolina won, and they was already one up on us. So, yeah, crazy weekend in football for my Saints, but also a crazy weekend in football for the Baltimore Ravens. I'm trying to you know, get some notes on that game as it comes across the monitor. I'm just trying to figure out what was the biggest reason why Jacksonville was able to just win. I think I saw on the monitor that Jim Harbaugh decided to go for it for a game winner, maybe a two-point conversion or something like that to maybe win the game rather than going to overtime. And looks like Jacksonville's defense actually stepped up and said, no, not today. Not today type of thing. So, you know, we'll see. I don't, you know, you can call into the show and correct me, or you can call into the show and debate me if I'm about what I just said. You know, you can call in and to the show line, and the show line is going to be area code 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. You can call into the show and correct me about anything that I'm saying, or debate me about anything I'm saying as well. So that's what our big, you know, my big discussion is today, trying to figure out why was the Baltimore Ravens not able to go ahead and put a losing team, a basement team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, why weren't they able to go ahead and put those guys to bed? But I'm quite sure we'll find out once my number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, calls in and gives account of himself and gives account of his team. You know, I want to know. I mean, I can get on this show and I can just be honest about why my New Orleans Saints lost yesterday. I mean, it is very, very clear to me that we just can't get into the red zone. We had Mark Ingram yesterday playing. We had Alvin Kamara on the field. We just can't get into the red zone. You know, we play against a lot of tough defenses. We just can't get into the red zone. They're not allowing us to score like we want to score. And that's fine. It's going to be just a rebuilding season for us at this time. We just need to start rotating guys in and seeing who's not going to be there next year. So, you know, saving some money on the cap, you know, get some high level free agent names to come in, as long as they're not too long in the tooth. Just get some guys on the free agent market, spend a little money, get them in, and then cut bait with some of this dead weight on our team. But yeah, again, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, they failed this weekend to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Also on the news, the Browns beat the Bucks. The Browns beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 23-17 in overtime. Tom Brady and the Bucks blow a 7-point lead in the final minute, losing overtime to the Browns. Can Brady and the Bucks recover from the loss to the Browns? Well, they'll be all right, because Tom Brady and the Bucks are going to win the division. So they're going to win the division, and they're going to exit in the first round. Or, you know, if Tom Brady shows up with that Tom Brady magic like he usually does, he'll probably get them out of the first round. But they're wild card. They're probably a wild card game in a division round game, and then they're out of there. You know, they just Tom's not going to be able to take them. That team is not the same team it was when it won the Super Bowl. I'll put it like that. That team is not the same team it was when it made a run in the playoffs I believe, last year when they lost to the Rams. That's not the same team. That's not the same team. So maybe my man RC, I think, from Kansas City, maybe he'll call into the show today and raise his hand up and want to talk some stuff about the Kansas City Chiefs because they came up with a good win yesterday. They won their game. I'm trying to remember who they were playing against. Was it the Rams? I believe it. Did they play the Rams yesterday? I think they did play the Rams yesterday. No, they didn't. No, I think they did. I'm a little confused. Like I said, it's still early in the morning for the late night dog. We'll get it all together in a minute. You know, that's what I like about my show. It's professional impromptu. It's just like we're sitting around the coffee pot at work, around the scuttlebutt at work. If you've never been in the Navy, you don't know what a scuttlebutt is, but that's a water fountain. Guys standing around the water fountain, guys standing around the gee-dunk machine, the snack machine in civilian terms, and then just talking about the old basketball games, old football games. This is an impromptu show, so we don't have to be totally correct about what we're bantering about. This is just a show where you come on here and banter about sports. We'll eventually get the facts right eventually as we go. But, you know, that's what I like about my show is I run it, and it's an impromptu show. Basically, this show is set up to be a conversational show. It's a conversationist show to where we talk sports in an impromptu manner. And, you know, we try to, we debate, but we try to keep it, you know, calm. We try to keep it calm. We try to keep it professional and everything like that. So, yeah, that's the way Stogie's and Bill operates on this here show. But we're going to go off into a quick station break, and I'll go off into our music mix, and we'll be right back. Stand by.
Yeah.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Foran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California. That's WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And I am your host, a.k.a. Romero Foran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. If you'd like to call in to Stokers and Beer and debate the host or boast about the sport that you love the most, call in, and the show line is 515-602-9687. The guest call-in line, the show line is 515-602-9687. If you want to call in and talk about the topic that we got that we're covering right now, which is Jags eats Ravens as Jacksonville defeats the Baltimore in NFL action recap. Again, Jags eats Ravens as Jacksonville defeats Baltimore in NFL action recap. The host will discuss action and results from this past weekend's NFL action. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love and discussion-worthy topics that come across the host monitor. The host, the show's number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, is scheduled to debate the host regarding the loss this weekend by the Baltimore Ravens. So DC is some of you may know that listen to the show, is from the Maryland area, and he is a big Baltimore Ravens fan, all things Ravens. Never could really understand that, being the fact that that's a transplant team. They were the Cleveland Browns, and then all of a sudden, they moved, I think it was Art Modell packed them up overnight. Against the commissioner's ruling that they wasn't moving. They take off from Cleveland and then leave Cleveland without a franchise high and dry, go to Baltimore, and all of a sudden D.C. from Maryland is all of a sudden a Baltimore Ravens fan, knowing good and well that Baltimore were the Colts before they left. I guess they didn't like the fans that were there. They up and left and went to Indianapolis. But the Colts, the actual Colts franchise today was the actual Baltimore Colts, and they left and went somewhere else. I guess D.C. wasn't cheering them on loud enough then, so they left them and went somewhere else, and actually went somewhere else and won Super Bowl titles. So, I don't know. But anyway, we'll get into all that when he calls in to the show and to debate me and everything like that. But looks like Tom Brady got into a little bit of trouble this weekend. He got into a little bit of trouble this weekend by blowing it in overtime against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns defeat the Bucks 23-17 in overtime. First time Tom Brady lost after leading by 7 points in final 2 minutes of regulation. I'm not going to lie, I was really surprised. That the Cleveland Browns were able to pull that off. I never thought that Jacoby Brissett would be able to steer the ship and get a win against the great Tom Brady, but he did it. Shout out to Jacoby Brissett because he did it. Oh, yeah, he did. He made it happen. He did that situation. So when it all comes down to it, the Cleveland Browns, they came back in overtime and defeated Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Across the monitor, they're asking, can Brady and the Bucs recover from this loss to the Browns? And like I said earlier, for those of you that are just tuning in, yeah, they can recover from it because they're going to win the NFC South. That's a good thing about it for Tom Brady. If he's going to go out, this is going to be his last year. I mean, if it's going to be his last year, he can at least say, hey, I made it back to the playoffs. More than likely Tom Brady is going to be in a division leader. They're going to probably be playing a wild card team. So they'll probably be in the wild card game, the weakest conference division leader against somebody that barely made it in. And, the team they're going to play is going to have a puncher's chance, but Tom Brady is going to have pride. He's going to have his precision, his wisdom. So I think it's going to probably make for a good game. And he'll get out of the first round. Then, when they get off into the divisional type of stuff, first game in the divisional round, he's not going to – I don't think he'll get out of that game. because then he's going to have to play a team that's you know, probably going to have, you know, 11, 12 wins somewhere up in there, maybe 13 wins, and he's probably going to get ate up by a team like that. So, yeah, that's my prediction. That's my prediction. So, when it all comes down, you know, that's my prediction. That's the way I see it. But, you know, we'll see. All I'm doing is basically, you know, just trying to make sure everybody in Tampa Bay don't get their hopes up too high and stuff like that. But stand by. I'm going to take a quick station break. We have some technical stuff I got to take care of. Hopefully it won't take me no more than a minute. But let's just go off into some more music real quick, and then we'll go from there. Down south was asking me was I on the station break, and I was like, no, I'm on air. So I was just trying to make sure that I could hear something coming through my system to make sure that my audio was good. And as I was doing that and getting my coffee, I look up and I see somebody decided to come to work today. You know, at first I thought this man that I'm about to bring on to the show, which is our number one sports contributor to the show, DC out of Maryland, I'm about to bring him on air. Good morning, sir. But I thought you wasn't coming to work this morning. And I already sent you the question to your cell phone. How y'all lose to them bums yesterday? You supposed to be in mid-season form. How you lose to those bums? So anyway, sir, you go ahead. Give account of yourself. Go ahead. Tell us why the Jags eat the Ravens as Jacksonville defeats Baltimore in NFL action recap. Go ahead, sir.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show once again.
Appreciate you. Thank you for coming.
Right. During the Ravens bye week, I was asked by a lot of people what I thought of the rest of the Ravens season because after the bye week, it was noted that the only team they faced with a winning record was Cincinnati for the rest of the season. And so when I was asked that question, this was my response. My response was, if we get by Carolina and Jacksonville, we will be fine. If we don't get by one of those teams, the challenge is getting by one or both of those teams. And people were asking me why. And I said, well, both of those teams are tough teams. They might lose games, but they're no chumps. They lose off a lack of experience or poor coaching, but they don't lose because they're not talented. The Ravens barely beat Carolina. It was a horrible game. Looked like two JV teams out there playing, but the Ravens were able to pull it out. And then same thing with Jacksonville. They went in the game, and they were dropping passes. They were fumbling. You know, some fumbles were forced, some weren't. They played down in the competition, the perceived competition, and they got snake bit. So I'm not shocked. I had a feeling the Justin Tucker kick was not going to make it. I felt like, you know, when he kicked that 66-yarder against Detroit, it bounced on the crossbar and bounced in. And I felt like there was no way, and that was indoors. I felt like there was no way outdoors, even without the weather, the wind being a factor, that he could make that kick. So I'm not shocked that he missed the kick. I'm not shocked that they lost the entire game. I was disappointed, of course, but I was not shocked.
Well, you know, your take on that is interesting, because how do you beat a lot of solid teams? You know, you guys played the Saints, and I mean, at that time, I think, you know, they were at least, you could still say they was at least solid on defense. You guys pulled that out. You guys beat some other teams. Also, you know, you also lost some games, turning the ball over late in games earlier. But with all that, I felt like you should have been poised and positioned to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm thinking of, if I'm looking at the notes right that came across my monitor, I think you guys went for it, tried to win the game versus going into overtime. Am I correct? Did Harbaugh gamble?
Well, no. Jacksonville marched down the field with 2 minutes left in the game and scored a touchdown to go down by one. And instead of kicking the field goal, the point after, to kick it to overtime, Jacksonville went for the two-point conversion
win.
And the win. And they got
with the defense you guys got. Y'all couldn't stop them?
And that is the issue. What this loss highlights, all four of the Ravens' losses have came when they were ahead in the game, going into the fourth quarter, and they lost the game. And so the argument becomes, is this on the new defensive coordinator, the rookie defensive coordinator that they hired? They let Wink Martindale go, and he went to the Giants and turned around, and the Giants beat the Ravens, coming back in the fourth quarter. And so Wink Martindale got his payback. But the argument is, did they fire the wrong coordinator? When John Harbaugh fired Wink Martindale last year, and kept Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, a lot of people argue he fired the wrong guy. And this issue for us this season could support that, because all four of our losses are, again, you could argue on the defense. They didn't hold the lead. Right? We all know the Ravens should be undefeated. Well, but they didn't look good yesterday. For example, a friend of mine pointed out that all the touchdowns that Jacksonville scored was on Marcus Peters. And his argument has been Marcus Peters has been the weak link on the defense all year. And his point
everywhere
was,
else he's been.
Well, that's a good argument. That's a good argument. That's why he kind of got out of favor and with the Rams, so that's a good argument. But yeah, the argument being Marcus Peters is the weak link, you know. And every time he scored a touchdown, it was on him. So that's a valid perspective.
I mean, the way I looked at y'all defense, though, even if the offense was struggling with Lamar turning the ball over, stuff like that, you know that y'all defense was y'all strong suit. But, I mean, you do know all things Baltimore Ravens. I'm not going to argue with you from there. But over my monitor, I'm seeing that Lamar Jackson is fed up. Lamar Jackson tweets and deletes profane message in response to criticism. How bad of a look is this for Lamar Jackson? What do you say about that? Should he have to put that tweet out there? Was that the professional thing to do with the platform that he has of millions and millions of people?
It was not, but I'm not surprised.
He's still young. He's still young in some areas.
Well, yeah, but I'm not surprised that he would do that because, quite frankly, Lamar deserves the comment. I watched Stephen A. Smith this morning talk about it on First Take, and he said, I do think you deserve your money. He said, I do think that you are a great talent, and I'm not taking away from that, but you could have played better. and he did call him out for that. And, you know, Lamar ranks 25th starting quarterbacks in offensive categories. So, you know, it is a legitimate argument. And then the other thing that, Stephen A. Smith said, which I thought was great, was he said, hey, we're not saying that you're not great. We're just saying you're not enough. You alone can't beat the other 11 guys on the other side of the field. You need some help. So maybe we shouldn't give you all of that money, paralyze the team's salary cap, and allow no one else to come in and help you out. So my issue with Lamar is I don't feel as though he's gotten better as a quarterback. I've been on this show since the summertime talking about him and his money and his contract deal. I just don't think he should get it guaranteed. I think he should get more than Mahomes got, but I just don't think he should get it all guaranteed. I don't think he rates that. And I think they should make it performance-driven, but I think they should make it a low performance-driven. For example, 7 passing touchdowns or 500 yards rushing should be a $20 million bonus, that kind of deal. Like, I feel like he could still get his money during the season as a bonus, just not as guaranteed for just playing the way he plays. I would think that they would be better that way. But going back to your question of immaturity, absolutely. The guy's 25 years old, and he doesn't recognize his position. Yes, he was in the moment. It was the heat of the game. He's human. The feelings hurt. Absolutely. I get all that.
Yeah, because you let Lawrence. You got outdueled by Lawrence. I mean, I guess he did have a right to be pissed off, but, I mean, how in the heck do you get beat by Lawrence?
Yeah. It's happened before. So.
What are we going to do moving into the playoffs in Baltimore? Because I remember you came on a couple weeks ago. You said you broke it all down like you did this morning about whoever y'all had to play. You said theoretically we could sit everybody down for the rest of the season and just go into the playoffs and be healthy and be fine. Is that the plan?
No. The Ravens absolutely need to continue to play as if their playoff lives depend on it, because it does. With 4 losses, they're in a position where they can finish 13-4 if they run the table. And they also are in a position where they could not make the playoffs. They could not make the playoffs if they lose to Denver. If they lose out and Cleveland went out and Cincinnati went out, the Ravens could be on the outside looking in. In their own division. The wild card spot is, the playoffs is deep this year. You got the Jets. You got the whole AFC East looking like they can make the playoffs. The Raiders are still mathematically in it. The Chargers are mathematically in it. So those 3 wild card spots could be snatched up easily. So, no, the Ravens need to wake up and stop drinking their own Kool-Aid and recognize we got to play. And I felt as though there was a few plays in the game that I felt was poor play calling. There was a few plays in the game that, like the wide receiver drop down pass in the end zone, and we had to settle for Justin Tucker field goal. And I thought that play was going to come back to haunt us, and it did. Had we had scored a touchdown there, Jacksonville wouldn't have been able to win at all. So I thought that was, a thing. Lamar misses a lot of wide-open throws to wide receivers. They played DeSean Jackson, which I expected them to do, but DeSean Jackson only got on the field for maybe 5 snaps. He finished with 74 receiving yards on, 2 catches. But you're struggling at the wide receiver position. You sign DeSean Jackson, and you only play him for 5 snaps. The issue is the offensive coordinator, but the issue is also the defensive coordinator, because he keeps letting teams get back in it. I feel like if you know Marcus Peters is a – if everybody keeps throwing towards Marcus Peters, then you need to roll a safety over that way. Marcus Peters should never be alone in coverage, if that makes any sense.
I'm surprised he hasn't got
he's
cut.
Always
I'm surprised he hasn't got cut yet.
Well, he's in the last season of his deal, and I believe that they're out of respect for his talent. I mean, he is a pro bowler. He is an all-pro corner. He has made all-pro corner. So
yeah, he can play, but he can beat a lot.
He does. He gambles. He does gamble. And to his defense, he does gamble. But you're right. He gets beat a lot. But I'm saying if you know that, roll a safety over top
to help him,
so that he's never alone, to minimize him getting beat. And I don't see that. So I feel as though, you know, I see a lot of issues here. The defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, again, you know, putting up a lot of yards is great. But it don't matter if you don't score touchdowns, you know. It was funny that at the halftime, the announcers on television was like, Lamar looks lethargic. He doesn't look himself. And, you know, maybe because he was out with the hip injury and he didn't practice a lot this week. Like, all these things they were talking about at the half. And so it's like, what is that saying? When the announcers, the guys with no skin in the game, you know, they're just watching, and they're all, you know, all those guys in the, for CBS aired the game, all those guys except the lead, the announcer, are pro, are former players or coaches or whatever. So when they're just calling out what they see, that's the science. So, but no, no worries about me coming, reporting to work. I'm definitely I have no problems with reporting on my team at any time. No problem.
Well, and I appreciate that because, you know, the audience, your listening audience awaits you. Your listening audience awaits you, you know, when especially in mornings when they know you've lost. You know, people need to hear from you. They don't want to hear me on here bantering about how the Jags eat Ravens as Jacksonville defeats Baltimore in the NFL Action Recap. They don't want to hear from me. They want you to give account of your team. But speaking of your division, let's go through your division. You got Cleveland Browns. Big win against Tom Brady. I was so shocked that Jacoby Brissett was able to outdo the great Tom Brady. What do you think about Brissett's performance? Or was it his performance that got him there, or was it, you know, their running game or their defense? What was it, sir?
I think Jacoby played well this year, and I feel for him a bit because he is the established backup. Everyone knows he's just holding the seat for Deshaun Watson, who's coming back, I believe, next week. So I feel bad for Jacoby in that way, although, of course, he is a millionaire, so not like he's hurting, but so bad. But, you know, he's basically just keeping the seat warm for Deshaun. And I do think Cleveland's got an outside shot at making the playoffs. I thought that they were going to make some moves at the trade deadline, and they did not. I thought they were going to trade one of those running backs, but they did not. So they're in it, and they have an opportunity. They're not out of it. You know, we got Pittsburgh tonight.
How does it look with Watson coming back? Yeah, because I'm looking at it like this. If I was Cleveland, I'm running I'm letting them compete. I'm going to let them compete for the job week to week. And at the same time, I'm interested in running a two-quarterback system, meaning, you know, Brissett's going to be the starter. And then when he struggles, okay, I'm going to roll Watson in. And at the same time, you know, even if Brissett's not struggling, I'm going to roll Watson in so he could easily be prepared for the playoffs to go ahead and transition to him as a starter. And then Brissett can, you know, get rolled in Do you understand what I'm trying to say? A two-back system. I do, but
what kills that is that you gave Deshaun Watson all that money guaranteed, right? So you know you can't give a guy a 10-year, $400 million contract with $300 million or whatever guaranteed, whatever it was. You can't give a guy that much money. And despite all the buzz surrounding him with off-the-field charges, to go with a two-quarterback system, you've got to play Deshaun Watson, right? He's got the job regardless. Yeah, but
that's
money,
a financial decision.
Money talks. Money talks, but in business, you put money and you back people with money, right? Like, so, for example, if I take you to court and I sue you for damages, those damages is money, right? So that money, the larger the damages, the more egregious the offense, right? So if you pay somebody a lot of money for a contract, you're saying that you really appreciate the services. So Deshaun Watson is not going to get all that money and not play, right? So you're not going to go to a two-quarterback system. It's ideal. It's ideal. You're right. But a four-year, but you're not going to do it if you gave him all that money, right? You're just not going to do it, right? Yeah, 5 years, $230 million contract, you're not going to do it, right? You're just not going to do it because it wouldn't make any sense. So
Bengals come up with a win this weekend. Who did they beat this weekend in y'all division? I mean, was it an in-division game for the Bengals, or was it out of division?
No, it was out of division, but in the conference. They beat Tennessee, which is a huge win for Cincinnati. And, again, it keeps them close. Cincinnati's problem is in our division, they only have one win. They've got three losses. Remember, they beat Pittsburgh in overtime for their one win, but that's the cool part about Cincinnati for us is if we finish with a better division record and we're tied, even if we've already beat them, right? We win the division ahead of them, so we're in a good position. But as I said, we're not in a spot where we can take the foot off the pedal. We have to keep playing it out. We could finish with the number one seed. Right, if Kansas City loses a couple of games, and we win a couple of games, we could, but it's not guaranteed. Clearly, so that's why I said we definitely have to keep pushing.
Y'all
got to
keep playing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're in no position to.
Recording in progress.
We're in no position to take time off.
Can you guys get home field advantage? What is it looking like? Well, you got the Dolphins. I guess they're going to be the team in that. Well, I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs as well. You know, you got a lot of still got. What does it look like for you guys to get home field advantage or at least get a home game in the playoffs? What is it looking like?
Okay, so we win a division, we're guaranteed a home game because we'll host the wild card game. So we're good there.
Okay.
We do have an outside chance for the best record, but we need Kansas City and Miami mm-hmm. to lose a couple. Kansas City, though,
okay.
they've got Cincinnati, so that's a possible loss. And maybe the Raiders as an outside loss. Other than that, expect Kansas City. The Seattle game for Kansas City might be tough on Christmas Eve. So that they could possibly lose three games, but I doubt it at this point. So we pretty much are playing. This loss to Jacksonville hurt us and our opportunity to possibly have the first round bye. It did.
Okay. Then you got the Pittsburgh Steelers. They played this weekend as well, right?
They played tonight. Yeah, they're on the Monday night game.
They're on the Monday night game. and that's going to be against who they got?
The Colts. Yeah, they got the Colts tonight.
Man, that's going to be a good game because Jeff Saturday actually gave them guys new life. I think their strength now is the offensive line because he's the offensive lineman. I think Jeff Saturday is going to have he's sent a message to the offensive line. Put it like this, you got to protect our quarterback. If you can't do the job, you got to go home, and we got to get somebody else in there that can. So even though they lost last week, I think they looked a whole lot better since he's been there and everything like that. So do you see Pittsburgh at a possible loss tonight, or is that definitely a win for them? And if they win, how does that affect the Ravens?
Well, I hope so. I hope Pittsburgh does lose. I want us to win the division, and we are – you know, Pittsburgh's got a slight chance to get in, too. If they lose tonight, they're done. They've got to win tonight to keep an opportunity because Pittsburgh's 3-7. If they lose tonight, they go to 8 losses. And in the AFC, you get the 8 losses, you're done. So Pittsburgh's pretty much – their season's on the line tonight. If they have any – dreams of the wild card spot, they absolutely need to win.
Got to win out.
Well, at a bare minimum, they got to win tonight because eight losses will put you out, pretty much kill your chances. With the teams like the Jets,
you can only be 9-8.
Well, right. But you figure with the Jets right now will have the last playoff spot. And they're 7-4. Right now, New England will be out of the playoffs, and they're 6-5. The Chargers will be out. They're 6-5. So that's what I'm saying. You pretty much – 8 losses will pretty much kill you for the playoffs. So Pittsburgh's playing for their season tonight, their playoff chances.
Man, and this is a good season because really nobody. I mean, it's some teams that's winning, but there's no, like, when I say dominant team, there's no one undefeated. Even the best team, Philly, last night struggled last night with the Green Bay Packers. But what do you think about Aaron Rodgers' performance last night in that big game? Do you think that the Packers surprised some people by the way they hung? You know, they only lost by 7 points, and they were never really out of the game. Rodgers' performance.
I thought Aaron Rodgers did well last night. I'll tell you who I was more impressed with was Love. When Love got in the game, when Aaron Rodgers went out injured, I thought Love did well. But what I see with Green Bay, I do think they're done. I think they're in within their own division. You know, I think Minnesota is obviously better. Chicago is obviously better in their own division. So I don't see them – they're not going to win their division, and I definitely don't see them getting a wild card spot just because, again, let's assume Minnesota wins the NFC North, then clearly Chicago is the second-best team. So I don't see them hurdling Chicago. So I think they should – rush Aaron Rodgers and go with Jordan Love. I also think that trading Aaron Rodgers because I feel
if you hold that thought, because this is what I was going to ask you. You just kind of said what I was going to ask you next. Do you think right now, if Aaron Rodgers re-ups thumb, combination of both, if they just say, hey, how about we just go? We're already going to lose the season. We're not going nowhere. Sit Rodgers down. Make sure he's healthy for trade bait. Go ahead and let Love come in and just go ahead and finish the season out. Because I caught the tail end of the game because they got distracted doing some other things. But I had caught the tail end of the game. And at that time, it was 30-37. And he was, you know, trying to score, whatever the case may be. But I don't know if he was responsible for getting them to the 30-point mark or not, but do you see a scenario to where he could go ahead on and just say, hey, what the front office can go ahead and say, Aaron, we're going to go ahead and sit you now, man. We're going to, you know how they tell you. We're going to need you for next year. We ain't going nowhere. Go ahead and coach up the rookie. Go ahead and coach up the backup. Coach the backup up. Let's see what he got in case we want to put him out there for trade bait. You know, do you see a scenario of this happening, and would it be a smart move at this point in the season?
I think for Green Bay it would. I would who would take Aaron Rodgers for a one-year deal or possibly a two-year deal and give up a couple of draft picks? Right? A lot of teams would. I'll tell you one. The Colts would take Aaron Rodgers until they could find a quarterback they like. I know I would. So teams like that, the Jets, they're clearly going to move on from their rookie quarterback. I don't think the Mike White is their long-term solution. So Aaron Rodgers to the Jets for a season or two until they can find a new franchise quarterback would be smart. I see teams wanting to do that.
Speaking of this guy Mike White with the Jets, man, where did this kid come from? I mean, he had a big game yesterday, and they're giving him all these praises and accolades, but some of the media experts are like, slow down, hold your horses. He ain't that good. Because if he was that good, Zach Wilson wouldn't have been the starter in the first place. So what's the scoop on this Mike White kid, man? I mean, was he a solid guy in college? Was he a solid guy on some pro team at one time? What's the story?
Well, he was a backup with the Jets for a while, and he actually did this before with them, and they won some games. But then when they went with him, he couldn't handle it long term. So he actually is a great backup, but he's not. Right. Now maybe. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at it. Maybe he wasn't super successful last time because of the fact that they had different coaching and, you know, and that kind of deal. So maybe this time around Mike White could be the guy. It's definitely worth holding on to him and letting the guy that they drafted go. And, of course, you can let Flacco go as well. Right, he's clearly long in the tooth as a veteran. They can let him go and keep Mike White going in the next season. But I definitely like the, you know, as a team, as an organization, you want to always try to get better. So you have to ask yourself, are we better? You know, does this one guy make us better? Or moving this guy for other players would make us better? So. I definitely think there's some options there for Green Bay to look at.
Is it time for some of these teams at this point? I mean, like right past the midway juncture. Is it time for some of these teams to go ahead and say, let's start rotating some of these second string guys in, some of these special team guys in. Let's start rotating some of these guys in, and let's see who we can cut bait with. Let's see who we can cut bait with and open up the salary cap so we can get some high level vets in. Is it that time of season for teams to start doing that? And I'm talking about three win, four win teams like the Saints.
I agree. I think next week is the start of week 13, so I think it's fair that going into the last month of the season that yeah. If you're done, then let's go in on and start doing something different, which is why I'm not shocked that Jacksonville did what they did by instead of playing for the tie, went for the win, right? I mean, their attitude was is if we don't convert, hit the two-point conversion, we lose the game, but we were projected to lose anyway. So if we scored a two-point conversion, we had a chance to win the game. So, you know. A lot of people are arguing, should Doug Peterson go for the tie or go for the win, well, considering he's saying, well, I'm a 3-7 team and I'm not projected to win anyway, why not? So I thought it was a smart move, and it worked, right? He went for the win, and they won.
Speaking of 4-17s, so Cliff Kingsbury be on the hot seat week 12. Chargers defeat the Cardinals 25-24. Arizona falls to 4-8. Is that one of the teams that should be considering? Let's get everybody in, take a look at everybody, and start opening up the salary cap. Are they in that position? Even with Kyler Murray?
No, for one reason only, and that is Kyler Murray's been injured and didn't play every game this year. And I think Cliff Kingsbury is tied to Kyler Murray. So if Kyler Murray hasn't been playing, then you can't beat up Cliff Kingsbury. However, they've shown some weaknesses, and one of their weaknesses is they don't spread the ball around as well as they say they was, and they definitely don't run the ball very well.
That's Kyler Murray's fault, though. Kingsbury is not responsible for the way Murray plays, and I'm gonna tell you why. In Mexico City, when they played the 49ers, the backup quarterback, I forgot his name, you know who I'm talking about, though. He came in and he knew his reads, and he got the ball to Hopkins. That's what Kyler Murray does not do. That's why they had an altercation on the sideline, and I was surprised that Hopkins went at him basically, what are you saying? I'm wide open. That wasn't the case last week, but it obviously was the case this week because they lost in overtime. So what do you say about that?
No, I agree. Well, you figure any time that they put it in Kyler Murray's contract that he has to study the playbook, you know, tells you that he's one of those athletes that believe that my athleticism got me here. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because clearly it worked. And forget that it isn't that. You, in order to excel, you've got to do better, right? You can't just do what got you there. You got to keep working to be better because everyone else is working to be better, right? If you keep doing what you're doing, you're not going to go anywhere, right? Same thing in business, right? In business, you say, well, this is what works for me. This is what got me where I'm at, right? But that's why you're where you're at. You're not going to go further till you do differently, right? You got to do differently to get different results, right? You know?
Right.
If you got the same move, right? You know, in basketball, you got the same move. You two dribbles to the left, and you pull up for the jump shot. Everybody know you're going to take two dribbles to the left, and you're going to pull up for the jump shot. And they right there to block it. And you start wondering why you can't get your shot off. Because everybody know what you're about to do. You know, you got to change your moves up. Right? If you're doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. Right?
Looking at the Denver Broncos, covered across the monitor, seeing across the monitor that big defensive tackle Mike Purcell jumped all in Russell Wilson's face. I mean, they want to know, is this a big deal? I mean, I'm like, well, first of all, why wouldn't the whole team jumping on the defensive tackle saying, get the heck away from QB1? Are you out of your mind? You don't want to talk crazy to QB1. You don't want to touch QB1. You take out your frustrations with the coach. Why'd they just let this guy unleash on Russell Wilson on the sideline? And he's on the defense. It ain't like it's an offensive lineman saying, hey, man, I'm blocking for you all day blasted day. And you can't make the read. If you're going to take off, just take off. I can't hold a block all day. What are you doing? Why is the defensive tackle up in Russell Wilson's face? That ain't even his unit. Go ahead. Speak to that.
Well, in defense of the defensive linemen, we don't know exactly what was said. We assume it was negative, and it probably was. But in his defense, we don't know what was said. However, when you make a trade for Russell Wilson and you give him all that money and you get rid of all of that talent and you're hitching your wagon with one dude, And then he doesn't play well, then he deserves what he gets. You know,
because we could argue, going back to the point you made a minute ago, we could argue that what he said was positive. But we also could argue that it was negative. And you kind of got to look at it like, you got to use common sense. Was the guy yelling at Russell Wilson saying that, hey, man, you didn't get me Sierra's autograph, or you didn't get me a signed CD from Sierra? I don't think it was that. I think what it was is that we're freaking out here on the field all doggone day long. We're tired of you, and the offense comes in. You can't make a play. You can't get a first down. You keep going three and out, and we're tired of it. Now, what do you think about that? Was it the first or the second argument?
I definitely think it was the second. And, you know, the thing is you know, people want to win. People want to win, and people don't want to hear it. You're getting paid to do a job. I want you to go out there and do your job. You know, there was a conversation on Facebook. Someone said that they feel like Lamar Jackson is being hated on unfairly because he asked for, you know, so many million guaranteed. And they were like, you know, the Ravens fan base is unusually harsh on this guy. And I responded with, no, they just want him to do better. He has not grown enough as a quarterback to ask for the money he's getting. This guy's asking for more money than Mahomes. And Mahomes has won MVPs too. But Mahomes has also won Super Bowls. Right?
Right.
Lamar has an MVP, but he does not have a Super Bowl. He only has one playoff win. And the teams that have beat him in the past, he can't get past. Miami beat him last year on Monday Night Football handily. And when he played them this year, they played them at home. This was a revenge game, and Miami came back and beat him again. When you look at the Buffalo game, Lamar Jackson threw a pick six in the playoffs a few years ago against Buffalo. And that's how Buffalo went on to play Kansas City in that really great playoff game, right? And because they got by Baltimore. Well, when Buffalo played the Ravens in Ravens Stadium, Buffalo came back to beat us. So my point is Lamar's not getting it done in the games that he was expected to get it done. Again, as Stephen A. Smith said this morning on ESPN, he's good, but he may not be good enough.
For that amount of money.
Correct. Which means either you need to shut up and just play. You know, now if he takes us to the Super Bowl and we win the Super Bowl, pay him everything he wants because he proved it. Right? But as a friend of mine said the other day, it's AFC Championship or bust for Lamar. If we don't get to the AFC Championship game, he can't ask for the money he's looking for. He's got to produce.
No.
You know,
y'all got to set up franchise tag. Y'all got to franchise tag him at that point.
Exactly.
Am I
right?
Correct?
And that's exactly what they most likely will do. Right? They most likely will franchise tag him to avoid paying him the money, to see what he could do one more year, and if not, they might let him go. And I ain't against
it. So essentially the franchise tag is basically just a one-year deal. That's what the franchise tag means. We're going to do like a month-to-month. We're going to do a year-to-year deal.
Yeah, it's a one-year deal where you get the average of the top 5% money at your position for that 1 year salary. So let's say Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, and Kyler Murray is the top five paid quarterbacks in that position. And let's say, and Kirk Cousins, and let's say that average amount is $43 million. If you average all five of those guys' salaries, and so you got to get the average of the top 5% at your position. So Lamar would play next year for $43 million, which you could argue would be a pay raise for him, right? Because he's running like, I believe he's running only like $20 million a year. So he would get a $23, let's say, million-dollar pay raise in 1 year. But, again, he wouldn't have a guaranteed contract. So if he got hurt, even if he didn't get hurt this season, he got hurt next season, then he could be done, right? So
he's not getting it. There's no guaranteed money.
Right, and that's why I say, you know, everybody talked about how he was risking it and he was gambling on himself and all that's cool to say. All that's cool to say, but in my mind, that's why I'm saying he screwed up by not taking the guaranteed offer the Ravens gave him. But, because I would have, because that way it would have been over, right? He put pressure on himself to produce, and so far he's not doing it. Now, you could argue the Ravens should be 11-0, because the four games that we lost, we were winning. And they were superhuman comeback stories for the other teams, right? You could argue Sonny D.
And
turnovers
for Lamar.
And turnovers for Lamar, because he did. The Giants game, he did turn the ball over to give them the win. That's a true statement. But, again, all that being true, however, that's football.
When you look at Jalen Hurts, right, for the Philadelphia Eagles, you look at Jalen Hurts and you compare him to, let's say, the running quarterbacks of the league that we know that do that style of play, Kyler Murray, older version, Russell Wilson, and then you look at Jalen Hurts. What is it that makes Jalen Hurts look like the resurgence of Michael Vick? I mean, but looking at his size, looking at his arm strength, looking at the way he knows how he's able to read defense, you know, coming from Alabama, that's a top-notch school, Alabama, Oklahoma, you know, good colleges to teach you how to read defense. You have the great IQ. What is it about Hurts, man, that's making him look like he's doing it with ease? I mean, he can take off. He's strong. He can put the ball where the ball needs to be at. What is it? What's different about this guy, man?
He's had time to be in the same system and grow within the system. His talent was there. It was there in the beginning as a rookie. He just had time to be in the system. They made him the starter, right? They got rid of Wentz. They got rid of Foles. They say, you're the guy. We're going to give you the keys, and we're going to sit back, and we're going to go as far as you take us. And they instilled that level of confidence in him, and he's doing it. I always respect franchises that do that because you're putting your money where your mouth is. You commit it to a player. Going back to Lamar Jackson, that's why I'm making a statement. The Ravens have committed to Lamar Jackson. They've played, they designed
a system
to his strength.
They kept that other quarterback. They kept that other quarterback, though, so you can't say the same thing there.
Well, wait a minute. The reason why they kept Tyler Huntley is because Tyler Huntley plays the same system as Lamar, so that was just smart for a system, right? If Lamar gets hurt and you got to bring in a backup quarterback, then you don't want to change and have to run new plays and run a different system. So for the rest of the players, so they kept the same system. So I'm saying here, but they've committed to Lamar. The problem is Lamar has to step up. I'm giving you Jalen Hurts comparing the two. Jalen Hurts said, okay, I got it. You guys are going to – we're not going to go as far as unless I take us there, so I'm going to work to be better. Lamar, to me, has not worked to be better, right? So I think that's the biggest issue for him, right? But I think that this loss was on Lamar, but it was more on the Ravens' defense than Lamar, right? So going back to your original question, how can we lose to these bums? Y'all look at the defensive coordinator. Right? Y'all look at the defensive coordinator. If we had kept them to 17 points, this would have been a win.
Yeah, true.
So, you know.
I mean, you know, I'm going to segue over here into some NBA news that I just got across, and I want to see how this affects this team positively. Mavericks are to sign Kemba Walker in NBA news. Does that make Luka Doncic that much more dangerous, and does that make the Mavericks franchise that much more dangerous by signing Kemba?
No. Kemba Walker is not going to be very effective as overall player, because he's not good on defense. He can shoot. He can hit the jump shot. He can hit the three. You know, his biggest thing about his game is going to the basket, but he's not as quick as he was when he came out of Connecticut. So, a lot of teams let him go. Charlotte let him go. New York let him go. Detroit let him go. A lot of teams let him go. And what's the reason why? The reason is the jump shot's still there, but that's it.
Speaking of Charlotte,
I've seen him
Michael Jordan. But why is it that Michael Jordan, being the GOAT, why couldn't he change Kemba Walker defensively? I mean, Jordan had defense, and you playing for the great one. Do you think he ever sent word down there to the coach to say, get him right on defense, or did he work with Kemba? I mean, what do you think?
Kemba is just not that good. I mean, he's small. And his whole thing was, speeding by people and getting to the basket. And then if you block the drive, then he would burn you with a jump shot. But Father Tom, he's not the same guy anymore. And so do I think Kemba's going to help? Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to help. Is
coming
he gonna
off the
make
pitch, but
them,
he ain't
start. Right, but is he gonna make Dallas that much better? No. But can Kemba hit the jump shot and run an offense? Yes. Thinking that way, but he's gonna be a liability on defense, right? Because now it's like whoever's the shooting guard, they're gonna go at Kemba because he's only 6 foot, and you know they're gonna have a 6-7 inch advantage on him. And they're going to toast them defensively, right? So it'll give Luka a break offensively, but it won't make a difference defensively.
And you do know that Kemba did defeat Kawhi Leonard in college in the NCAA. I don't think it was Final Four. I think it was the Elite Eight somewhere up in there. And when UConn put out San Diego State, do you remember that some years back, about 2012, 2013, I think?
I do, and I think it's, it's great, but we're talking about 08, 09, right? Talking about, 15 years ago. You know, for example,
right.
Spencer Dinwiddie is playing alongside Luka. Spencer Dinwiddie, not necessarily a true point guard, more of a backup kind of guy. So Spencer Dinwiddie is going to now – let's say you brought Kemba in and put Spencer Dinwiddie on the bench. Okay, Kemba can run the offense like Luka, right? He can hit the jump shot, so that's cool, right? But he's weak on defense. Spencer Dinwiddie is a better on defense, right? So, Kemba gets some minutes. He'll put some buckets up. But that's all. He's a
lot. Who do the New York Knicks got this week? In big games this week. Who we got?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Knicks because they lost yesterday to Memphis. Down the stretch, they missed a game winner. That would have won the game. That would have tied the game. They had the opportunities, and they lost. So I appreciate you bringing them up. They had some They played well against Memphis, but they didn't hold on. But at the same token, I wasn't shocked. The problem I have is the coach's rotations are off. I don't think he's trying to go with a 9-man rotation, an 8-man rotation, and he's trying to find the right mix, and he hasn't found it. I definitely think the Knicks need to make a trade. And if they do that, they'll do well. They're a mediocre team. They're 9-11, right? They're 2 games under 500. So they got to make some changes if they want to go be better. I think they can be better than their record, but they got to make some changes. This week, they have Detroit tomorrow. They've got Milwaukee on
Wednesday.
That's
a win. That's a loss.
That might be true. And then they got Dallas on Saturday. So we get to see how
that's
they respond with Kemba Walker. Now, I think they could beat Dallas. And they got Cleveland Sunday, which
Cleveland hot.
Cleveland, when the Knicks played Cleveland earlier this year, they played as best as they could, and it didn't even matter. They lost by 20 against Cleveland, and they played the best game, arguably, that I saw them play up to that point as a complete team, and it didn't even matter. So, like I said, I think the coach got to make some changes to his rotation. They may need to make a trade. People ask me who should they trade. I always say Derrick Rose.
And Julius Randle.
And Julius Randle. Right. If they just trade those two, they'll be fine.
I was going to ask you this. Why don't y'all go ahead and I've asked you this before. Why don't y'all just go ahead and tank on out? You're already below 500 and get into Wembanyama sweepstakes. That big center from France, man, I mean, that's a game changer.
Because the problem is they got talent. They just need to establish an identity regarding their talent. For example, we lost to Memphis last night because Jalen Brunson decided to take the shots at the end of the game all on his own. He didn't look to pass the ball. Like, he wasn't penetrating and then dishing to somebody wide open so they could take the shot, which I thought worked against them.
Well, that's why y'all brought him in there, though, to take that shot.
Well, we brought him in to lead the team. We brought him in to lead the team because he's not necessarily that – he's not Steph Curry, right?
Okay.
So, to me – He was brought in to be the floor manager, the floor general, and lead the team. If you ask me, I think he's done his job. Jalen Brunson has done his job. I thought he's given us what we needed. And now I think the issue is recognizing the rest of the talent on your team. RJ has not played well this year, which means he's not that dude. Randall has proven to be not that dude. And so you got to get rid of one of those guys. If you say who you get rid of between Randall and RJ, you get rid of Randall. Right? You know, you get rid of Randall, and you need to get more minutes to J.J. Cam Reddish, and he's hit big shots. He hit a big shot last night. Hit a three for us to take the lead in the game, actually, in the fourth quarter down the stretch. So play Cam Reddish and make a move on getting rid of Julius Randle. When you got Obi Toppin, who was Player of the Year, National College Player of the Year, as the backup on the bench, you know, that guy didn't become Player of the Year in college if he couldn't play, right? So you got to get him on the court to see what he can do. So you got to trade Randle and Derrick Rose, and they'll be fine.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I'm just, you know, y'all did have a win against Memphis earlier this season, right? Y'all 1-1 against them now, right?
No. We lost in overtime. It was the first game of the season. We
That's
went
right.
to overtime, and we lost in the end.
That's right. But that was a hell of a game,
yeah.
though.
It was, which shows you that they have talent, which is why even JB said it when you had him on here. Tanking is not in there. They don't need the tank. They just need to tweak what they got, right? They need to figure out, they need to be honest with themselves with what they got on the court and then tweak one or two players, and then they'll be fine.
I think the Lakers had a big win over the weekend. And if I'm remembering right, I think I don't think they lost this weekend. Is their formula starting to work with Westbrook coming off the bench? Plus, I know they got Dennis Schroeder as well. He's active now. So are they looking any better, in your opinion?
No. Let me say this. While they might have made their record look better, which is great, but they're not going to make the playoffs. Still done as far as that goes, which then makes you say, well, what are they doing, right? They're 4 games under .500, and again, if the playoffs started, they would not be in, right? They would not be in. They're not even just barely out. They're way out, right? If the playoffs started,
they can't turn
today,
around by the trade deadline.
No, not at all. Let's compare the Knicks and the Lakers right quick. In the playoffs start today, the Knicks would be out, but they were out of the play-in game because they're the 11th seed. But they're only a half a game out. For the Lakers, if the playoffs started, they are the 13th seed, and they, if the playoffs started, there would be 3 games out. Like, there's no chance to get in. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying they're done.
And we hadn't even really been playing that long. I mean, it's not even nowhere close to – what is the mid-season point? All-Star game, February? That's mid-season point, right?
Yeah.
And so we ain't even – we ain't even close to that. I mean, we still got all of December, all of January. That's a hell of a lot of games. But I guess you're just projecting and saying that team, you already know what that team is going to do. So it's just like projecting. If you look at the Caesar sports book, they already got them projected not to make it. I guess that's basically what you're saying, based on the structure of the team, the roster.
Yes.
And the way they play, the way they're utilizing everybody. And even with sitting Russell Westbrook on the bench, that's crazy. We say, well, he needs to come off the bench. Okay, well, he's coming off the bench. So, obviously, Westbrook starting was only one issue. But, you know, now that he's coming off the bench, who's the other problem? Is it LeBron James and his health? Is it AD? But AD's been playing in a hell of a season, they're saying here lately. He's still fragile, but he's been playing a hell of a season. So what's the problem?
Right. I think that they have the wrong players. They don't have the right chemistry. Individually are great, but as a team, they don't have the right chemistry.
This is crazy, man. But look. I'm going to let you get off the line here, man. I want to thank you for coming in, calling in to the show, coming in to work today, because I thought that you were going to duck and dodge me after that cat ate the bird. But, you know, you showed up, man. You showed up and gave account of yourself. I appreciate that. I know my fans out there listening globally, they appreciate and respect your knowledge as my number one sports contributor to the show. So I want to thank you for coming on, and I'll let you close out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me. Listen, you know, I projected that Baltimore was going to get snake bitten by either Carolina or Jacksonville, and they just proved me right. I'll tell you, it's disappointing when you're proven right, right? as a fan, you want your team to win every game, and you want them to blow every team out, and you just know they're going to win. And it's disappointing when you're real and you see it, reality smack you in the face. It hurts, right? But do I think that we're going to do well? I do. I do think we're going to make the playoffs. I see us in the second round. I don't see us getting to the Super Bowl unless we make some changes. And hopefully they make the decision to make some changes, or else we're just going to be a very good playoff team and not a Super Bowl team.
All right, man. Well, again, thank you for coming on to the show, man. We'll be in touch with you, get you back on here sometime this week and talk some Knicks basketball and everything like that. But, again, thank you for being on the show and everything like that, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, my brother.
Yes, yes. For those of you just tuning in, that was DC out of Maryland, our number one sports contributor to the show. Calling in, talking all things Baltimore Ravens, all things New York Knicks, and plus all things NBA and NFL. I want to thank him for coming on to the show. If you ever like to come on to the show and be a sports contributor on our new Versus series, that's going to be where you can debate DC, our number one sports contributor. If you are a college athlete that wants to put together, start training to be a broadcast analyst. If you're a college student that wants to go off into sports media, you can come on here and you don't have to come on every show, but you can come on here and get some hours in on the show and debate myself or comment on the sport that you love, and also debate DC from Maryland, our number one sports contributor, to start getting your feet wet on getting on these bigger platforms for debate. So, I mean, you can come on this show and learn. You know, Blog Talk provides Blog Talk provides the opportunity for to replay these shows, so you can actually take the show link and create your own sports broadcast debate reel. Again, we're looking for also a news desk person, because sometimes, you know, when I have something to do, like today, I'm going to be closing the show out a little early today because I have I got business to take care of today, so I have to close out my show. And like I always tell people, when you're going into business as an entrepreneur, always have a staff of people that can cover when you're not there. When you're a one-man band like me, currently I'm a one-man band. Anytime I'm sick, the show is sick. Anytime I'm busy, the show is busy. Anytime I'm on vacation, the show is on vacation. I always have a staff of about three people to where somebody can come in and cover you. So I'm looking for a couple news desk personnel to read off the scores and all things sports, every sport, major sport, meaning like right now we got World Cup, and I haven't forgot about you American soccer fans and global football fans. I haven't forgot about the World Cup tomorrow. We face Iran tomorrow, and we do need a win tomorrow and to finish our group play so we can move on to the knockout rounds. So I wanted to say congratulations to the men's national team for getting to the World Cup, but good luck tomorrow on getting a win. We actually need to beat Iran to move forward. So just a little bit about the World Cup. But going back to what I was saying, I need a news desk editor to come in to talk all things major sports, NBA, NFL, MLB, all the major sports, all the four major U.S. sports, and then some of our other sports like I said, like soccer and stuff, and you know, stuff like that, other sports that we only get to see here and there, sports that you have to really be a big fan to kind of like stay up on. Because I don't, some of these sports, like I said, I'm not strong in hockey, I'm not strong in soccer, but I do watch the monitor and check the scores and see what's going on, breaking news, stuff like that. So we need a news desk editor that's capable of covering all the big four major sports, plus some of the sports that are not as popular, but we'd like to give everybody fair media coverage on the Stogies and Beer platform. But for those of you just tuning in to the show, this is Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And Stogies and Beer is the professional, is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We are broadcasting live from WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And you can catch the show most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's when you can catch the show. The call-in line to the show is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. And just call in to the show and debate the host of debate, our number one sports contributor on our Versus series, where you can call in and debate the host about the sport that you love. And, yeah, so when it all comes down to it, you know, on this show, if you don't know about what we're talking about, we can teach you about it. If we don't know what you want to talk about, you can teach us about it. But mainly our Versus series, you call in to debate DC, our number one sports contributor, and our couple other sports contributors that we have on the show. You can call in and debate them on the big four, on the big three major sports, which would be football, basketball, baseball. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and close the show out. Again, if you're looking for to be a part of the show, call in to our guest line or DM me at Ferrands, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferrands Sports on Twitter. Just DM me and say you're interested in coming on the show and be a sports contributor, or if you want a position on the show, I'm looking for an audio director, a news desk director, and whatnot. So, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close the show out a little bit early today. I want to thank all my global listeners out there that tune in to listen to the show. Big shout out to my boy Booker Williams out there, you know, listening to the show out there in Fort Worth, Texas. Me and Booker go way back to our Navy days, so I want to give him a big shout out for listening in to the show, and hopefully he was able to enjoy the show and spread the word, Booker. If you're listening out there, spread the word around to some other sports-loving people and business owners, because we do business segments on here where you can call in and talk about your business, and if you have a business opportunity for anyone out there. I know I have a lot of young men just graduated college that definitely could take advantage of Booker's business, which is a travel business, and certain other things as well, just to keep money in their pocket, because all these athletes, they got to travel back and forth state to state doing workouts, doing stuff like that. And sometimes money is an issue, but I know that Booker has a solution to keep some money in these young men's young college grads. You know, he has a formula to keep money in their pocket. But anyway, with that being said, this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I'm your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. We're going to go off into a quick music mix and come back and set black and fade all. Stand by. to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. This is your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. I want to just say to everybody, remember to be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Pray for peace around the world. Pray for Brittany Griner that she gets home soon. Pray for the people in Ukraine that this war stops. Pray for the soldiers in Russia that don't even want to be participating in this war. Pray for the people in Iran as they protest against for their civil rights. So with that being said, everybody take care out there. Make sure you get the flu shots. Keep your mask handy for in crowded spaces situation. Keep your mask on in crowded spaces. Keep yourself protected from your quarantine to protect your family. If you come down sick with any cold or flu-like symptoms, COVID-like symptoms, quarantine yourself inside your house away from the rest of the family. Take your meds like the doctor prescribes. Get your flu shots. Get your COVID boosters. Stay safe from monkeypox. Keep your hand sanitizer on you at all times. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close the show out, and we'll see you guys on tomorrow, God willing. Set black, fade all.